podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Physical in your face.
Yeah, he was little angry man. Same problems as me.
The Fantasy Football Show.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Planet FPL, the world where everything revolves around Fantasy Premier League. My name's Serge.
And my name is James.
And as James was just saying, moaning about your son coming into your room in the night.
I'm not quite, yeah, he's just next to us going, put me in your bed.
Yeah,
Your bed looks better than mine.
It's the warmth. Every parent knows it. But we've got to start this pod with one thing, James.
Yep.
And only because my youngest son likes to listen and he likes the whole concept of podcasting. And he's always quite excited about it.
Your youngest son is how old?
Eight today. Happy birthday, little man.
Happy birthday, Aaron's little man.
Eight. And I know he's going to listen. And I know he's going to want to shout out on the pod because he loves, oh, Dad, are you doing another podcast? I'm like, yeah, cool, mate.
All right, no swearing today.
But no, we'll keep off it. I think after about 6 or 7 minutes, he'll stop listening. So we're good. Okay. You're talking about your son who is two.
Three.
That's all right for him to come into your bed. My eight-year-old wandered in at 4 a.m. today, and he gets so hyped about his birthday. Like for the whole last month, he's been counting down the days. Like, what date is it today? And then does the maths of the 30th minus whatever to figure out how many days till his birthday. Rocked up at 4 a.m. Yeah, and I'm like, oh, come on, man, just you can get into bed, but you can't be going downstairs. And I know you're excited, but the rest of us don't want to be excited enough to wake up at 4 a.m. So we went downstairs at 6 o'clock, and do you know what he started doing? Playing the fucking drums.
What, 4 a.m?
Six. We're shouting out, what are you doing? He's like, I was bored. I was like, you can't play the drums at 6 a.m. Anyway, he's enjoying his birthday. So happy birthday, little man. Poll, you put out 3 options. An unexpected winner, maybe?
Yeah, I think so, actually.
Yeah, it was an unexpected winner.
We're basically, the idea behind this podcast was have something very relaxed kind of during this period of intense Premier League football. Bear in mind, we've obviously got a deadline today.
Yes.
So me and Sujan wanted to do something that was going to be just more like an open conversation, basically. So there's 3 options for a greatest team, if you will. So one idea which didn't pick up many votes at all was the greatest ever Premier League team with no European players.
Mm-hmm.
Salah, Mane, Heung-Min Son, it goes on, obviously. Yaya Toure, whatever. The one that I think we thought was going to win was a combined Chelsea-Liverpool-Man City team.
Yep.
I just said to you before we started, I think we could have done a whole half hour just on the right backs, I think.
Yeah, easily.
And I might put that out as kind of a thread on Twitter as a bunch of polls to see how people vote. It's quite interesting. I mean, even like the goalkeepers, which one do you pick? Like, it's so tough.
Yep.
So that was an idea of a current Chelsea, Liverpool and Man City team. The 3 teams that get challenged for the title, pick a best 11 from that. But a winner, and I was surprised, was an idea of picking a greatest ever Premier League team from players who have never played for a so-called Big Six team. One of the Super League Six, one of the Greedy Six, one of the Rich Six, whatever you want to call them.
Is because you support one of the Big Six. And so your fans and your clubs think that the world revolves around you. Whereas the rest of us, there's actually more fans of non-Big Six clubs than the Big Six. So we care. We don't care about, you know,
I find it very refreshing, though. No, because invariably, if I put 3 topics in and one of the topics involves one of the Big Six, it tends to win.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. It was actually quite a good and interesting challenge. I can't say I got to a team of 11, but I've got some very interesting names and players that I want to put into the mix, and I'm sure you'll fill in the gaps of some of the positions that I didn't put anybody in. What formation did you go with? Because I was looking at a 4-2-3-1.
Okay, interesting. I've landed with a 4-3-1-2, which I would generally call a diamond, basically. I wanted a 4-4-2 because I think traditionally through the near 30 years of the Premier League, that's the formation we've seen the most.
Yep.
Plus, there are more older players here than more current players. Like, for example, if Declan Rice stays with you for 10 years, then I think we'll probably do this team in 10 years and Declan Rice would be in it.
You didn't put him in, eh?
But I wouldn't
put him in.
I wouldn't put him in at the moment. I wouldn't justify it. I mean, how many Premier League appearances he got? Has he even got 100?
Yeah, he'll have 100 by now.
Let's check that. I discounted it purely on lack of appearances.
Yeah, and I can understand why you would. For me, you know, I just think he's such a talented player, and obviously I've got bias in there. But let's go from back to front and see who, what, why, where, when. I found plus, goalkeepers quite difficult.
Plus, it won't be at West Ham in 10 years' time.
No, of course not.
So he'll never be in this team.
He'll be a boss,
and therefore, by not including Declan Rice in this team, it's timeless.
Yeah, fair play. where did you go with goalkeepers?
I narrowed it down to a choice between two, really.
142 appearances for West Ham, but that probably includes senior career, so that includes cup games.
And stuff,
so it's
yeah.
going to be there or thereabouts, though.
I looked through every single Premier League player up to 125 Premier League appearances. I don't remember seeing him.
Okay.
I didn't look any lower than that.
Yeah, I mean, we've not traditionally done well in cups, so I can't imagine he's played that many cup games, but you never know. So then, in goal, who have you gone for in goal? Because I think some of the keepers that I would have picked are probably recency bias and not decent. You know, the likes of Shaka Hislop played a lot of games.
Shaka Hislop.
Boom shakalak.
I wanted to go...
Good goalkeepers, but consistency. Like Rob yeah. Green, for example, was a very good goalkeeper, but his he made so many mistakes that he'll get remembered for them more than actually the fact that he was a very good goalkeeper.
Yes, that's true. Yeah.
And to be honest, he'll actually get more recognised for his fashion sense now, because when he comes on as a pundit, he's always got Larry suits on.
Is he?
Yeah, he's always got Larry suits on.
Shows I'm definitely skipping more Sky Sports news than I used to, which is no bad thing. I wanted to go with Shay Given.
Yep.
And originally forgot that he'd had obviously 2 years at Manchester City, so that doesn't work.
No.
So I think the choice from there become quite straightforward for me. I've gone with Neville Southall.
Big Nev.
Who was a legendary keeper for Wales and obviously for Everton. I think the lasting image for a lot of the younger listeners might be this very large fellow who turned up to play for Bradford.
He never looked like a footballer.
But wow, he was good. I'm sure he won Football Writers Player of the Year in the 1980s, which admittedly is pre-Premier League era. He's got a couple of top division titles with Everton in the 80s. Certainly played for the majority of Everton's spell in the 90s. And I think he just edges it because I think he was a top-level keeper over, say, Tim Flowers was the other one I really thought
Tim
about.
Tim Flowers is a good goalkeeper.
Obviously won the title with Blackburn.
Mm.
Nigel Martin, I guess, is another one to consider.
He'd be a good shout.
I've gone really old school. There'd be people listening like, "Oh, James, I've never seen him." Mm. Well, particularly in the 80s, Neville Southall was top draw.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go with, despite... best of his career being prior to Premier League, I'm going to go with Neville Southall.
Big Nev. I don't mind Big Nev in goal. I think a lot of the goalkeepers, others that I was thinking about that had longevity, ended up having a stint at a big six club somewhere. Like even David James played at City. Paul Robinson played at your place. And
Mark Schwartz had a little spell at Chelsea.
And Man United. No, sorry, I'm thinking of Bosnich, was it? But he wouldn't
Bosnich
be anywhere
at Man
close
United.
Anyway, to be honest with you.
I'm Chelsea. Although I'm not, I can't remember if you ever actually played for Chelsea.
I think he did once or twice. Yeah. I think he did. So many keepers sneak in a little cheeky stint here or there. But yeah, I don't mind that at all.
Brad, you say Brad Friedel?
Yeah,
was
he
another
was at
one,
Liverpool and Spurs and whatever else. So there we go. Interesting with goalkeepers. We move on to fullbacks, left back.
Tough one.
Leighton Baines?
Quite straightforward in my final decision. Yes, I have gone for Leighton Baines.
Mm, me too.
There's one obvious one, I guess, to argue against, which is Stuart Pearce.
Very true.
Forrest, Newcastle, West Ham, but obviously predominantly Forest.
Hmm.
That would have been the one to real compete.
He never played at City, did he? He was just manager.
No.
He never played there.
Just managed at City. Stuart, you've got me questioning that now, but I'm fairly certain he didn't. No, I'm pretty sure he became part of Kevin Keegan's coaching team there and then took over interim and then did the job full time. Very famously brought David James on as a striker, didn't he? As a substitute. Class. Yeah, I kind of... My influencing decision on this was partly that... Did he play for Man City?
38 appearances for Man City.
Did he really?
Yeah, after West Ham.
Well, I can't visualise him playing for Man City.
Doesn't matter, we chose Leighton Baines. After 2001-2.
That's not in the Premier League. But I would say...
Okay.
I would count that as playing. So, for example, I wouldn't have considered Peter Beardsley. Right. Peter Beardsley only played for Everton and Newcastle in the Premier League. He joined Everton in the summer of 92. Yeah. He played for Liverpool before
Division
that.
One.
So, therefore, I would not consider Peter Beardsley.
I can't recall Pierce playing for Man City.
Yeah. Was definitely, but anyway, we chose Leighton Baines.
It's definitely Leighton Baines. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah.
Straightforward for me. Plus, I wanted, because I picked a diamond, I wanted two attacking fullbacks. Like, right back was probably a more difficult decision.
I've got a right back because this is just how hard it is. Who'd you go with centre backs? Lewis Dunk?
I just assumed you would segue into right back still.
Okay, we can go right back. Who did you pick?
Well, same club.
Seamus.
I'd go with Seamus Coleman, yeah.
I can't argue with that either. I think he's been very consistent and very good for a long period of time.
Plus, I feel like I've kicked Everton so hard lately.
We've done not just you.
We've done three positions. There's Everton links in quite a way through this, actually. There is a domination
of... They've been consistent for how many
teams.
Years in the Premier League, so they're obviously going to have...
The only one I could think really to argue against Seamus Coleman was another Irishman, was Gary Kelly at Leeds. Really liked him.
He was a good player.
Proper solid Gary Very Kelly. He was like 38 games every season, no doubt about it. It might be a few Evertoners might even say Tony Hibbert, possibly, but Seamus Coleman.
Not ahead of Seamus Coleman.
Seamus Coleman with our FPL heads on. That's what it came down to. If I'm playing a diamond, I've got to have more offensive fullbacks. Gary Kelly did not return often offensively, but a very solid right back. I want to say he was either captain or vice captain of the team that got to the Champions League semis. I think Seamus Coleman's been 10 years now. Still doing it, not at the top level. Wink Coleman and Baines were at their pomp. They were probably the best fullback duo in the league.
Yeah.
People would have probably said around about 16, probably Coleman and Baines or Walker and Rose would have been the sort of debate you'd have had at the time. I think Seamus Coleman is the right call, actually.
All right, so from fullbacks, we can move on to a centre-back pairing. I struggled a little bit here. I think I'm suffering again recency bias. I think like the likes of Lewis Dunk's been pretty decent. He hasn't played at a big club.
Nah, you wouldn't consider him yet.
I mean, historically, the game's so different now. Some of these centre-backs from way back when were just defend and kind of kick the shit out of people type players as well. So in the modern game where you've got so many more cultured players that can come out with the ball and that kind of thing... It's a bit of a hard one to
plus
think
the
about,
game's changed. Like you've had people like obviously Rio come through at yours, go to Leeds, go to Man United, John Stones at Barnsley, Everton, then Man City. Yeah. They tend to end up at these clubs don't they?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I've gone back in time a little bit and kind of narrowed it between a selection of four players.
Okay.
There was one player that I wanted to include and I would have put him in, but I've discounted because he had a spell at Manchester City in the late 80s and early 90s, and that's Colin Hendry, who won the league title with Blackburn Rovers. I would have put him
in. Scottish legend.
Yeah, I would have put him in. I think the winning the Premier League title would have edged it, but he had a spell with City. So although that was prior Premier League, I've discounted
it. You've got to have one player with a mullet in any team as well.
Well, I don't think I do now, no.
Oh, man. No,
sorry, mate.
We need a mullet somewhere. If we've got players in the 80s and 90s, you've got to have a mullet somewhere.
Mind you, Big Nev, maybe. Might have at a point.
He was a tash-tastic guy.
Yeah.
It's really all about his tash.
I'm going to go with
that. So no Colin Hendry.
Leighton Baines had the Bradley Wiggins hair and stuff, hasn't he?
Leighton Baines was a rock guy, wasn't he? Rock music, kind of grunge type of... hairstyle.
If you say so. Centre backs. So I've gone back in time for a couple. I want to give shout out to a couple I've left out first. Dave Watson of Everton, similarly with Neville Southall, so solid, a leader for them.
I mean, he doesn't jump to mind as someone that would have made an all time.
Again, there'll be people listening who've never heard of him, never seen him play. He was top centre back for Everton. Des Walker. I know you'll remember.
He'll never beat Des Walker. He didn't make it.
No.
I was surprised, actually, because he left class.
He left Forest before they got relegated, went to Sampdoria. So actually, his Premier League years was only a spell with Sheffield Wednesday, really.
Right, okay.
So I discounted that as well. So I ended up going with Gareth Southgate. I think this team needs a bit more of a ball-playing centre-back. And I think Gareth had
a very
underrated career where he was originally a bit of a nobody's man at kind of central midfielder at Palace, more famous for getting stamped on by Roy Keane in an FA Cup semi-final. But went on within a year of that basically to become first choice for England at Euro 96. His best spell was at Villa, natural leader on the pitch. We know what he's like off the pitch now as well. Very calm. Was kind of one of the first, it was kind of a movement away from the kind of shouty captain, if you will.
Yeah.
Just kind of lead and kind of cajole people. But he wasn't so much for pointy, shouty leader, but he led in other ways. He was a very good player. He didn't have amazing pace. No. He wasn't amazing in the air. His reading of the game was extremely good, and that's what set him apart from a lot of other players in the 90s who played that position. So I've gone Gareth Southgate.
Yeah, I don't mind that at all. Gareth Southgate's a decent shout.
The other one was a tougher one. I've gone with Lucas Radebe of Leeds United.
He
had terrible injury problems, but he was very good and very consistent for a very, very long time.
He's iconic with South Africa and the World Cup in South Africa as well, right?
He must have finished by
then. He was, but as an ambassador of South African football.
I would imagine
South
African
football, I don't think was particularly popular or famous or anything, but I suppose who else would you have coming out of there? Benny McCarthy, was he South African?
Stephen Pienaar,
been a few others as well. Lucas Radebe was regarded as one of the we can call them groundbreakers. What would you?
Well, he's got a band named after him as well. You probably the Kaizer Chiefs.
Yeah, yeah.
Was named after Radebe because that was his team in South Africa. Yeah, the Kaizer Chiefs. Yeah, Radebe was an outstanding defender.
Massive guy.
They normally are, mate.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I've seen their rugby team. Yeah, you're right.
And I think he's. Obviously, he didn't win anything there, but was part of, I guess, kind of the leader of the team that obviously would go on to reach the Champions League semis. I feel like he was still about for the team that got relegated towards the end. Like, he never played for anybody else in this league. He's held in huge regard by Leeds fans. So, for consistency, longevity, Lucas Radebe goes in.
Yeah, I don't mind that as a shout in holding midfield.
Go on, then.
David Batty?
Yeah, I've got him in.
See, I would have put Rice in, and then I was thinking either side of him. It was a choice for me of Batty or Speed. And Speed's got this kind of, obviously, it's the anniversary of when he passed away just recently.
Gary Speed's in this as well, by the way.
Yeah, so I was debating Speed and Batty. And so if you've put Speed and Batty and you've left out Declan Rice, I'm hardly going to argue with you.
Yeah, David Batty, I was looking again for a diamond because so I could shoehorn a 10 behind the two strikers, basically. Yeah. I wanted a proper anchor midfield player.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't put Gary Speed into that category.
That role, you'd play him further up, would you?
It really was a case of, someone like Batty or Declan Rice or Wilfred and Ndidi. And I thought, well, for the longevity of the Premier League, that's not going to work. He was part of the Leeds United team that won the league the year before the Premier League. He joined Blackburn during the season. When they won the title, famously wouldn't accept a medal because he felt he didn't contribute enough. And then obviously went on to Newcastle and nearly won the title there as well. I mean, it was about 50 caps for England or so. Mm. Obviously famously missed the penalty in 1998. Loved the tackle. He was a dirty player. Has your son stopped listening yet?
Yeah, probably.
Dirty bastard. Honestly.
Physical in your face. Yeah,
he was little angry man. Same problems as me. But a kind of a modern in the sense that he was short and give it, wasn't one that would go long often, was regularly just pass, short, pass, give it to someone better, pass, give it to someone better, was constantly how he played. And I think he'd tick over nicely in this team with my fullbacks going high.
Yeah.
Gary Speed in has to be. He's the only player in the top 20 Premier League appearances who hasn't played for a big six team.
Top
20 all-time Premier League appearances. He's the only one who hasn't played for a big six team.
Okay. That's a lot of appearances. But I mean, his career spanned years.
No, listen, again, like Batty was part of the Leeds team that won the league, played in the Champions League at Newcastle.
That's similar.
Was very good at Bolton under Sam, I wouldn't say predominantly under Sam Allardyce. What a top player. And actually, Gary Speed's 10-year anniversary of his passing was the idea that got me this. Tom Campbell had asked on my stream at the weekend my thoughts on him. And I remembered him very young as a winger. And I did wonder if I wanted to go with a 4-4-2. The one I'd considered was, could I get away with playing him left wing and playing Alberto Solano on the right is actually probably who I would have gone with. And I just didn't think it worked because for the majority of my lifespan watching Gary Speed, he was a central midfielder, which evolved from winger to breaking into the box, attacking midfield. I mean, he used to arrive in the box and score so sweetly so often. Then obviously a more defensive player in later years. Absolutely outstanding footballer. Still sorely... You got two phones, they've both gone off.
That's my watch, actually.
Obviously sorely missed by so many. He's literally just passed 10 years.
Last weekend, right?
Since his sad leaving of us, yeah. And I spoke on that pod at the weekend. Ironically, Shea Givens in this team. I'll never forget Shea Givens' reaction, because Villa were playing at Swansea like hours after, and I was obviously doing like the minute silence and stuff, and he's just like a broken... Mm. Obviously, Givens was teammates with Speed at Newcastle, state of him. Ironic, obviously, it was in Swansea and stuff, being that obviously the country's birth. Legend for Wales, credited off the pitch in terms of turning Wales' fortunes round to now being a nation that is regularly competing to try and get into major tournaments. Yep. He was the start of that process. Gary Speed, probably second name in this. There's one obvious player that obviously has to go in, Speed is second name in this team.
You've got three in the midfield, so you've got another midfielder in there.
Yeah, I have, yeah.
Attacking midfielder?
I'd say goal-scoring midfielder.
Okay.
I've gone with Tim Cahill. So underrated. Proper FPL gem as well.
He always would have been.
I didn't play then, but
he was so good for so many years. So consistent.
He was a master at breaking into the box, and then obviously he had spells playing as a striker as well, both for Everton and Australia. I remember first seeing him for Millwall on their run to the FA Cup final in 2003-04, and it was just obvious goal scoring midfielder. And David Moyes obviously got everything out of him at Everton. Wasn't the best technically, but in terms of goal scoring midfielder to balance that off, yeah, I don't know how many Premier League goals he got, but so many. I don't know if he still holds the record for most headed Premier League goals.
Did he hold that record?
I think so.
Wow.
I feel like someone beat that recently. But I'm sure at one stage he had the record for most Premier League headed goals. Phenomenal in terms of getting into the box. Not the best footballer in the world, but I've got two fullbacks who want to sling the ball into the box, and obviously they played with him as well, so know how we played. How many goals he scored for Everton?
56.
I mean, it's great for a midfielder, really, isn't it?
Considering he's only 5'10" as well.
His leap on him, despite the fact he wasn't the biggest. Yeah, Tim Cahill's snuck in for me. The one I left out, which annoyed me a bit, was Rob Lee.
Yeah.
I really liked Rob Lee at Newcastle.
Again, probably not one you'd consider the most technically gifted ever, but he did such a good job all around. And obviously, we had him at West Ham for a while.
A top spell in that entertainers team in sort of 95, 96, then got into the England team ahead of the World Cup in 98. I remember one performance he had in Poland was absolutely brilliant. I really liked Rob Lee. I kind of came down to the conclusion of... and Rob Lee started one season, I think it was maybe the 94-95 season. He scored like 9 in the first 10. Remember when Aaron Ramsey had that run a few years back? It was like scoring every week at the start. Mm-hmm. That was Rob Lee back in the mid-90s. But I decided Cahill would just done it over longer. Mm-hmm. And that's why I went with him.
Number 10. Okay, let's just get one of the strikers out of the way. Alan Shearer.
Shearer's in. In fact, I'm happy to do both strikers. We'll come back for the 10. Because I think the 10 is an awful debate.
So you've played two strikers. I had a 3 and a 1. Like Shearer is a striker. And then I was thinking of a number 10 sitting in behind. But the types of players I might have considered a 10, you might have considered a striker in Di Canio, Letizier, and so on. Maybe Janinho. They were like the creative...
There were four players I've listed. You've missed one, but I'll come back to them. Shearer has to go in,
of course.
Premier League's greatest ever goal scorer. We don't really need to go on about it much more, do we? About Shearer, brilliant evolution from this hungry, pacey striker to became this brilliant goal scoring target man. I mean, really, absolutely was. Partner, I think, is quite straightforward. Jamie Vardy.
Yeah.
Gotta be.
Are there any other... how many other Golden Boot winners have there been that haven't played for a Big Six club?
Oh, that's got to be...
You ain't going to put Dion Dublin in, are you?
Kevin Phillips didn't play for any of them, did he?
Yeah, but I think Vardy's done it over a longer period, hasn't he? So.
Yeah, I mean, and obviously the title as well, right? Yeah. So
Vardy up there with Shearer, I don't mind that.
Jamie Vardy's got to go in. I mean, he's the only current still playing player that I've got in this team, other than Seamus Coleman. Jamie Vardy's got to go in. That's what I was looking at. Was similar to you. It was like, okay, 4-2-3-1 or something, or even 4-3-2-1. But I was like, I can't leave Vardy out.
No,
team.
You're right.
It's ridiculous. The other name I wrote down other than Fitz was Mark Viduka. Was obviously really good, obviously at Leeds for a spell. I mean, it's got to be Vardy and Shearer. They'd complement each other so well.
Yeah, that's also true. Imagine as a pair, they'd be phenomenal.
Even the older versions of them, rather than the younger versions. The older version with Shearer being the kind of take the pressure and Vardy going in and spinning off him, that'd have been a good partnership. Mm. The player that I listed, and he's the only player I really listed in terms of 10s, who I thought, is he worth a shout because for 18 months he was that good, was Dimitri Payet.
Yeah, who sadly got hit by a bottle the other day.
Not for the first time this season in France.
I mean...
I've not considered Payet for the team because it didn't not enough his, appearances
his,
for me.
Yeah, his catalogue of goals, though, was just ridiculous.
I thought, can I play him left wing and play Norberto Solano right wing? And I quite liked the idea of that because I really did want a 4-4-2 team. But no, I couldn't go with Payet. The three other players you named all worth consideration. Janinho has just become so unbelievably iconic. The whole Brazilian rocking up at Middlesbrough, the way he played, the incredible season they had when they got to the two cup finals in 97 and got relegated because they failed to fulfil a fixture at Blackburn, which even if they'd have fulfilled it with a reserve team, they basically would have stayed up. Had they not been deducted the points, they would have been level with West Ham's 02-03 team, which included Paolo Di Canio as the best relegated team of all time. Di Canio also has become an icon, part because of the Paul Walcott push, but obviously absolutely brilliant for yourselves as well.
The catching the ball.
Arguably, that Everton, catching the ball, arguably the greatest ever Premier League goal scored in the game against Wimbledon.
This is a key, yes and no. It was a good goal. I don't think it was the greatest ever, but yeah.
But I've gone with Letizia.
Yeah.
I think it's the right call over sheer longevity of doing it week in, week out for a team that was nearly...
Average.
No, they were fighting relegation. Like in my childhood, it was like every year, how did Southampton and Coventry basically finish like 17th and 16th nearly every year? And eventually the pair of them basically went nearly at the same time at the turn of the century. Southampton in 05, Coventry I think was 01. Matt Letizia did it every week, basically, for a team that was fighting relegation for like 8-9 years. Southampton's greatest ever player.
Why do you think he never got a move to a...
Well, I think there was... He was like many 10s of that era. Now, to be a 10, you've got to be quite hard-working in most cases. And that's actually why they're becoming more of a dying breed. And you see him... You invariably see these types of players ending up more like in wide positions now rather than... the hub of the team, because the way teams want to... I mean, we talk about, you know, could United play pressing with Ronaldo? But no, Southampton couldn't have played it with Matt Letizia. You'd be better off with United at Ronaldo. The reason he never moved was, I think, that there was a feeling about him that he was quite in his comfort zone. He never played for England as much as anybody thought he would. When he got in eventually under Hoddle, he played the night England lost to Italy at Wembley, and the England team that night was... really bad. There were so many injuries, but he got in the team. We lost 1-0. He didn't play great, but he got kind of blamed because I think Hoddle changed the system and the team was a bit weird and stuff. But his brother phoned some radio station in the afternoon and was like, "Oh, Matt's playing tonight." And Hoddle went mental. Like, he still played him, but he never played for England again. I don't think the only time he ever moved, came close to moving, according to him, was to Tottenham.
Right.
Terry Venables showed interest in him, and this is going way back. This is going back to like 1991. Venables had shown interest in him as a potential replacement for Gascoigne, but obviously Tottenham had financial problems at the time as well. So it never really came around. But according to Letizia, it's the only time there was never major interest in him from other clubs through the mid-90s, despite his obvious talents. I mean, his reel of goals is mad. Honestly, if you're listening, I've never heard of Matt Letizia for whatever reason. You're young. Honestly, just go and get on YouTube for 15 minutes. Just Matt Letizia goals. He's having his own goal of the season competition. I mean, he had one game against Newcastle in 93-94, I mean, you could arguably say they were the first and second best goals of that whole season. Mm. Ridiculous. Ridiculous talent. Bit of an enigma, ridiculous talent. Right. I think for me, he had to go in.
So this is an interesting question for you. And listeners, do jump in the comments on YouTube or on Twitter at @PlanetFPLPod. So given in goal, Baines and Coleman as your fullbacks, Colin Hendry and
Gareth
Southgate centre-backs. Speed, Batty, Cahill in midfield with Letizia Vardy and Shearer up top. Where would that team finish in the Premier League? I'm not going to say higher than sixth, seventh, current Premier League.
That team at its best, it depends. Yeah, if you drop that team now into the Premier League in the mid-90s, he'd win the league.
Yeah, mid-90s, I think so. Current league, I can't see them beating the likes of Liverpool, City, Chelsea. And they'd have a tough time against some of the others as well.
Well, I'm just looking back, and it's not intentional, but I'm looking, the only non-British or Irish player in there is actually Tim Cahill.
Yeah.
Is the only one. I guess that's probably bias of longevity of players, I guess, and how long they've played. Where would it finish now in the Premier League? All those players at their peak, I mean, it'd probably finish fourth.
I'd be interested to see what the listeners say. This whole podcast is about sparking a debate and an interesting conversation as well. I'm sure, listeners, you have players that you would have wanted in that squad as well.
I look at that team, it's a lot better than my Tottenham team, right now, like, honestly. Yeah, yeah, so,
yeah. Well, if they're going to finish fourth, you're not going to be fifth, I can tell you.
Is it comparable to City, Chelsea and Liverpool at the moment? It actually might be a little bit below. But then that's part of the challenge.
Yep. We have come in at the Patrons Today differential show, but there is a deadline later on today, FPL deadline. So James will be live streaming if you are listening to this on Tuesday before that. So do make sure if you find us on YouTube, Planet FPL, subscribe and you'll get notified as soon as he goes live. And at the end of the week, we'll be back at you with a full podcast reviewing all of the midweek games. Stay tuned for Sky Fantasy Football tomorrow. Head over to patreon.com to discover our additional content. Don't forget this month you get a bump up in tiers. A basic, go to intermediate, go to bump advanced, up. A bump up in tiers. So if you are interested in testing it out for the month of December, that's a great time to do it. Other than that, sort your teams out. Stay safe. Ciao for now.
Thanks, everyone. Good luck this week. Be nice to each other. Cue music, please, man child.
The Fantasy Football Show.
Sports Social Podcast Network.